Welcome back to the TV Talk Machine podcast. I'm Jason Snell, and across the internet from me, your host, chief TV critic at The Hollywood Reporter, Mr. Tim Goodman. Hi, Tim.
Hello, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Oh my God, doing fantastic.
Ah, yes. It's like 90 degrees outside.
It's so hot.
It may be Saturday in Australia. I don't even know.
We don't even know what day it is.
But it's cooler there, probably. Probably.
It's cooler, yeah.
Because it's like the end of winter there.
Wherever you guys are, who knows, though.
Yeah, who knows what the weather's like.
It's a dry heat.
We're on the face of the sun here in the Bay Area today. We've got so much to talk about. I at least want to mention that the other two parts of your cord-cutting three-part series are now up at The Hollywood Reporter, which you can get to by, of course, going to THR.com, clicking on Sites, and then clicking on Bastard Machine. Because that's what I do.
It never gets old.
Nope.
Laughing at Sites.
Nope.
Never gets old.
It's amazing. It's my favorite site on the whole of the Hollywood Reporter.
Mm-hmm. Is it your favorite site on the site?
On the site, yes.
Yes.
It's a site insight. You provide insight in a site on the site. Something like that. Anyway, I don't know if there's much more. We've talked about the cord cutting the last couple of times, but your process was like, you can cut the cord and then here's how that works. And then finally, then you can add in like other services. And I think that was a really interesting thing. Your thought process of sort of like, what can you add back in? And you ended up treating yourself, for example, to both of the international/British TV services, both Acorn and BritBox. You rolled those in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it was good. And the Criterion Channel, I got a little film in there.
Yeah, imagine that. We actually got a letter, I don't know if we'll get to it or not, that somebody said, asked us about, like, why don't you talk about movies when we're talking about streaming and all that? And it's true, you're a TV critic, not a film critic, but the fact is, part of streaming service or part of a bundle or anything like that, you know, often is film content, whether it's original films like Netflix, Amazon, and Apple's going to do that too, but also catalog stuff that movies you might want to watch. Like I was looking at a obscure old movie that a friend of mine said that she wanted to talk about on a podcast, and I discovered that it's on Epix. It's in their catalog, so it's like, who knew? But it's there.
Yeah,
so movies are a part of the game. Apple event happened this week. I guess we should talk about that.
Sure, you lead it off.
We got the answers. We got the answers. Mm-hmm. It's going to launch on November 1st, which gets them out there in front of Disney. It's going to be $4.99 a month because they realized they couldn't charge $9.99 given what Disney is charging.
11 days earlier, $2 cheaper.
$2 cheaper. And all of the speculation about whether they'd bundle their services together, and a friend of mine on a different, on a technology podcast, made this risky prediction that he thought Apple, even though all logic would say that you would bundle some services together, that they just wouldn't do it. And I immediately texted him and said, I think you're right, because it's Apple. And they'll be like, meh, who needs bundles? But what they did do, which is very interesting, and this is how you build your audience for your service, is everybody this fall, basically, and maybe into next year, if they buy a new iPhone, which is almost everybody, right? An iPhone, right. A Mac, an iPad, or an Apple TV, they get a year free. And I will point out, it's not a year free and then next year you buy a new iPhone and you get a year free. It's you get a year free and then it auto renews. And in a year, you start getting monthly $4.99 charges. And so it's a way for them to get you in the door and be a subscriber. And then their hope is that in a year, you aren't going to want to leave. Which, you know, honestly, that's not a bad way, because they don't have a lot of programming to get people to try it out. Is that you're there's a free trial. But if you've gotten a new Apple device, which most people, you know, who are Apple customers will have, then that their hardest core customer base, they get a year to try it out before they have to make a decision.
Yeah. I have a quick question that maybe only you know, but maybe because I wasn't really super tuned into the story as far as like reading every, you know, close reading, as I say. I just bought another Apple TV because of cord cut. Now I've got all these two TVs I'm working on, and I did not like my old school Roku that I was using. Is there like a backwards glance? Like my grandfathered in because I bought it like 4 days before the Apple event or not?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think
I think I might have lost out.
I think I think you might have. Offer good for 3 months after eligible device activation starting November 1st. So it may be that it's like after November 1st. I don't know. Does that mean all the new iPhones aren't going to come with it? It's possible. I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of questions
starting
out there.
Starting November 1st. Yeah, that's...
yeah, but that so might be the service starts November 1st. I mean, if you've got an eligible device that was bought in the 3 months before, are you not eligible? Maybe you are. I don't know.
Yeah, I bought it in September, I think. October, November. Yeah,
that's a good question. I don't have a good answer for that one. Anyway, I mean, so we know that they're going to have, you know, this handful of shows. I invoked you on a tech podcast this week because I made the bold statement that the more I see of this of C, the expensive TV show starring Jason Momoa, the more I see of it, the less interested I am in watching it. And I had a bunch of people say, oh, but, you know, it could be good. And I had to say the same thing you do, which is the only way to judge a show is by watching the show.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
said, I can judge a trailer, and we talked about that here. I can judge a trailer. The job of the trailer is to make me want to watch the show. And I can tell you, listener, it did not. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. But I will watch it, and then we'll see how it is. But I was much less enthusiastic about C, having seen their full trailer that they premiered at the event. I'm more interested in For All Mankind, but there hasn't been a trailer of that one yet.
Right.
Anyway, well, I mean, they'll drop a bunch of shows on November 1st. Who knows if they'll let you see them beforehand, or if you'll just be out there with the rest of us with no pants on, just watching shows.
I have some news about that.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Sort of. So it's like, it's almost like not the breaking news ticker. It's kind of like the... Dan has looked into this because the Dickinson is coming out.
Right.
Dan has looked into this, and he has been told from outside sources that, yes, we are told, the outside sources, that Apple will be helping us distribute this, or letting us distribute this link to you guys for this review, which is actually going to happen at a film festival. Of course, we joked inside THR that, you know, Apple is inherently not used to that setup. And even press companies or media companies with working press units that are so used to working with us, like hand in hand, even they get a little jittery about, like, wait, why do you guys want to review it out of the film festival? And we're like, well, that's the premiere. And like, we're not thinking that's the premiere. We want November to be the premiere. And we're like, well, it doesn't really work that way. So we're still unsure. I laughed saying, like, I bet Apple's not going to give us the link. But right now he's heard that they will. On the other hand, we have nothing in hand. So it could be that we won't get links.
I mean, their TV operation is run by TV professionals who presumably have some inkling of how this is supposed to work. But it's also a fledgling group that has never released a show before at Apple. And who knows, right?
Right.
And if the Apple PR people like want to get their hands on it, and it's like, have they hired? I don't honestly know. Have they hired entertainment industry PR people? And are they part of the Apple general product PR group, or are they part of the TV group? Or is it a weird? I mean, I don't know. It's new, is my point. And even if Ehrlich and Van Amberg understand exactly what they are doing, doesn't mean it'll go off without a hitch for the first batch of shows. They may blunder out of the gate. Could be. I don't know. Do you have any feelings about the pricing and the strategy? Is it just sort of like, you know, it gets them out the door and lets them figure out what they're doing, or is there more to it?
I think it was the only thing they could do. I think it was smart in that it was 11 days earlier and $2 cheaper, so it's perfect. You're beating them to the punch on the media part. It'll be like Apple, you know, Apple TV Plus will be talked about for 11 days prior to Disney Plus. And you know, the money is a good entry point. That's a very good entry point, whether you buy an Apple product or not. And then the Apple product purchase, which gives you a free year, is also very smart from a strategic planning position, because it's free. And you're, like you said, if you've got a device, it's free. And then also you won't cancel it, generally, in that where people probably would have done that otherwise, especially if they dropped all five of their current new shows. Then people said, I don't like any of these, I'm done. So you won't drop it in that year, and it gives Apple in that year a longer runway to start adding content, which they're clearly doing. And so who knows? When people sign up and they get this free year, and then that by the end of the year, there might be enough shows for them to say, hey, you know, like $5, that's worth it for me.
Right.
I'll do it. But so I thought the price point was good.
Yeah. All right. So now we wait, but at least we know. We know more than we did last week or for the previous 2 years that this has been going on. I feel like we're finally about to cross that finish line, which, of course, is actually a starting gun going off because that's when you have to watch the shows.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Mm-hmm. All right. We got some reviews that we should cover. You reviewed a bunch of stuff.
I did.
I want to start with Mr. In Between, just because I was okay. Very excited to see that this Australian half-hour drama on FX is back. You raved about it, and you put it on your best list for 2018. And after it stopped airing on FX, it basically vanished from the streaming world.
Yes.
And the nice thing is, as a part of it coming back on FX, I guess it came back last night, but hopefully those episodes will repeat and people can jump in. But that means the first season is now on Hulu. Mm-hmm. And I will report in the rare Jason Watches TV segment that comes up from time to time.
Yes.
That we watched episode one of season one of Mr. In Between last night, after I read your review of season two. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really good, so I'm looking forward to seeing more. You know, we did comment, as you've written, that it is, like, on one level, yes, it is another show that is both dramatic and funny about a person who's basically a hitman.
Mm-hmm.
That's going around with what with the Get Shorty and
yep.
and the Barry.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah.
I thought it was a really interesting balancing act of trying to portray this guy. I mean, Mr. In Between, I get it. He is both a human being who has human things going on and also kind of a monster because his job is to be a monster. And he's yeah. very good at it. And he's a mm-hmm. professional. And in episode one, there's like a bumbling dude who doesn't know how to be an enforcer and shake somebody down for the money they owe. And then like he just tosses it off and says like two words and it does the trick, which is mm-hmm. it's fascinating to see that. Plus then he has an super awkward interaction with a woman at a dog park and you're like, oh, this is really an interesting combination. And also I will say there is a joke in episode one of season one of Mr. In Between. There was a joke that made me laugh uncontrollably for like 10 minutes. And after it was over, I was still laughing at it from time to time the rest of the night. So
really?
Yeah. Uh-oh. Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
very curious.
Well, there's a
about
joke where
now.
There's a joke in the first episode where a friend of his makes him cover for him because his wife found pornography in their house.
Yeah, it's one of the greatest. Yeah,
and
it's
it just,
so good.
You know, he doesn't want to do it. And then he finds, and as the details come out of what the pornography is, he's like in already. He's in too deep and he just has to keep going with it.
Really
and
good.
It's just mm-hmm. more and more humiliating. And. Mm-hmm. It just made me laugh a lot.
Yes.
So there's
so many funny things in all the episodes. I'm trying to recall it, but yes, that episode is I think that was classic. That was a great joke. You'll be happy to know that joke is referenced in season two.
Oh, good. Excellent. Yeah. Well, yeah, it is. So, I mean, basically your review was, hey, this show is great. You may not have seen it. You should see it. And it continues being that thing, which is it just kind of continues on as the story of this guy. Although I did notice that you said, you know, it feels like darkness is gathering, right? Like how uh-huh. long can Mr. In Between keep the two sides of his life apart?
Yeah, I think that's, and we got three for review. At the time, hilariously, so I have this super intricate FX press kit that I'm looking at. There's nothing in there about total number of episodes. And so I thought six because it was six last year. And so I checked episode guides, which is a lot of critics will check that. It's mm-hmm. pretty accurate. And it's got six on there. And so there was a part of my narrative about like, you know, it's kind of like catastrophe. It's just never enough episodes. Certainly last year, the six episodes from Mr. In Between, they go by so quickly. Part of the genius of the show is that it really is a drama that gets a lot done in a half hour, more than most series, and that it finishes. And when it finishes, it's like in between moments almost. So there's not a real, I mean, there is an ending, but it feels like, oh, I really would like a seventh episode that I'm not going to get for a year. So I felt like there was more of that coming. And then I finally just asked them and I was like, what is the total again this year? So six, right? And they're like, no, 11. So I was very pleasantly surprised that there's 11 coming.
Really? Do they mean 11 in the season or 11 total?
11 in the new season.
Oh, wow. That's great. Yeah.
And
that's amazing.
And, yeah, it was very funny. And it could have been, I could have blown it. It could have been announced sometime where they had it in their press material and I missed it because they're like, yeah, we were surprised that we got an extra episode too. And I was like, oh, I'm surprised you got an extra 5 episodes, but okay. It doesn't matter. It's all good. So yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. Well,
so 11 episodes.
That's, I wonder if, you know, behind the scenes, I wonder if it's one of those things too, where, you know, they just made it for, you know, for Australia. And then it did well enough in America that they said, yeah, we'll help, or you know, they took a flyer on it and it was so successful that they brought it back for more. I don't know. I wonder what the story is. It looks like, you know, background wise is that it was always intended to air on FX and Fox Showcase in Australia. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Fascinating. Well, I don't see a lot of Australian TV because of all the spiders. So, I really enjoyed it. I'm glad it's back. I'll keep watching. I won't have to wait a year in between those episodes like you.
No, you won't. And then you'll be able to get 17 episodes.
Yeah.
It goes very fast. So I'm really excited about it. I've loved what I saw of the three. It's really good. So that's all I can say is just get into it.
All right. So that's Mr. In-Between.
Mm-hmm.
What about Mrs. Fletcher?
Well, yeah, Mrs. Fletcher is a big miss. It's Tom Perata's book. I've noticed as I looked at some of the comments from people on Twitter, they either loved the book or they hated the book, which is really interesting. So people were like, I love the book. I can't believe they botched it. And other people were like, I really loved Tom Perata, but I thought that book didn't work. And it's not a surprise to me that the show wouldn't be good. So it's a really interesting perspective from the book readers. But as I point out in my review, pretty much everything that you see on television, 80% of the people who watch it will have not seen the source material, or if you want to be industry laden, they have not seen the IP, so they won't have read the book. So the series has to stand on its own, which it clearly does not. I didn't like it. It's a limited series. It's 7 episodes. It meanders over it. It like partly meanders and partly is a gigantic anvil on your head. So it's really kind of a mess. There's 2 storylines. It's a empty nest divorced woman played by Catherine Hahn, she's magnificent in it as always. And then her son who goes off to college and he's just a total douchebag. And he basically was like that in high school. And he's like that as he starts college. It's supposed to be a coming of age for them. She is kind of weirdly coming of age for herself, exploring a lot of different things, but it's really muddled. She's like trying a lot of things, so I guess it's like, oh, her scattered journey in an empty nest. He doesn't have a journey. He is an idiot when you meet him. He is an idiot when it ends. And so it's kind of that one did not work at all, so it's a mess.
All right, that's too bad. This is Tom Perata's first thing after doing The Leftovers with Damon Lindelof, right?
Right. And so, yeah,
alas,
I don't know what to say about that. I felt like it was odd that he only wrote the pilot based on the book of his own writing. So he's obviously an expert on it. He left the rest of the episodes to other people. I think he's the showrunner, though. I don't know. There could be some growing pains there. That would be my guess. This is on HBO. It will be coming out in October.
All right. Long time from now. Well, maybe if we remember, we'll tell people that.
Yeah,
we'll
shoot up a flare in October not to watch it.
Yeah, well, that is we've talked about this before, that, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do, especially if it's shown at a film festival,
yeah,
or something. But and this was at TIFF, the Toronto International Film Festival, but now nobody can see it until October. So
yeah, exactly.
Oh well, maybe we'll remember. All right, another review that we should talk about is Victim. This is Kelly MacDonald and James Harkness. Kelly MacDonald, I always think of as the Scottish policewoman from State of Play, where I first saw her and fell in love with her, absolutely. And I have loved everything I've seen her in.
Yes.
She's great, but how's the show?
She's great in it, and the show is great. It's all right. Called The Victim. So,
sorry, The Victim. I drop words sometimes.
That's okay. I actually started when I was writing. I was like, victim? I was like, wait, let me check. It's The
Definitive Victim. And this is a BritBox original series, which is interesting, too.
Yes, which certainly ties into me now having BritBox on my television. Mm-hmm. And I've been, you know, between BritBox and Acorn, two good channels, I learned a lot about stuff like this. But yeah, they did a great job with it. It's A guy named Rob Williams, who he's the creator and writer of all four episodes. And Niall McCormick directs all episodes. They're veterans. I think maybe this is Rob Williams' first one of his own, because he's done stuff for, I could be wrong about that, but he wrote an episode of Killing Eve. He did a bunch of stuff from like episodes in The Man in the High Castle. But this is totally Scottish, and it's oh my God, it's so good. Everybody's so good in it. James Harkness is, people probably don't know him. He's a really good character actor, but he's also acclaimed stage actor. And there's so many layers to this. I would say when you start watching this, you might think, boy, Tim was really raving about this, and it's good, but it seems kind of like I've seen this before and it feels familiar. I like it. It's gloomy because it's in Scotland, but it feels familiar. And I would just say, hold on, because it's going to shift a bunch of gears. And it's just really good. It's just, I just was like, wow, I thought it was going to be one thing and it's not. But it's everything. Every part of it is really great. There's so many good actors in it, including Carla Crome, who's currently in Carnival Row. And she's been in a bunch of other stuff. John Hannah is in this. There was a guy who was on Game of Thrones who's in this. The writing is solid beginning to end. And I can't recommend it more, because you're in and you're out. It's four episodes. It is an emotional roller coaster, though. I will say that.
Right. I love these. I love the short British miniseries.
Yes, too. Me too.
Mm-hmm. With crime and lots of other things. We saw, what was the... I'm gonna forget now, but there have been a couple in the last couple of years that have been just spectacular. The one with Carey Mulligan, who's the name of it.
Oh yeah, sure. That was the something.
Yeah, the adventures of the pregnant cop.
Yeah, it was. Nope, that's not it. It's on the tip of my tongue, but it's probably because my room is.
Oh no, but it's another, like The Victim. It's another name that that you're never gonna remember.
No, it's something that's kind of generic, and so it's easy to forget.
Collateral.
Collateral. See, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway,
if it was The Collateral, we would remember.
Sure. Kelly MacDonald. Anyway, she's great.
She's really good in it. I would say that if you only know her from Boardwalk Empire, this will be, well, I mean, you've probably seen her in a bunch of other things, but she's definitely different in this. She does such great acting with her face, very super subtly, and she's magnificent. Great performance.
And if you're wondering, it looks like HBO has State of Play, the original miniseries.
I think that they do.
And I love that miniseries a lot. If you've seen the movie, you haven't seen the British miniseries, which has got an amazing cast, too. It's got, James McAvoy, John Sim, Bill Nighy, who else is in that? And of course, Kelly MacDonald. So.
Yes.
Philip Glenister from Life on Mars is in it.
Oh, my God, yes.
David Morrissey. It's fantastic in that.
So many great actors.
It is amazing miniseries if you haven't seen it. And again, I think it's like six episodes.
Yeah.
And actually, in these Brexit times, you may find it either eerily relevant or very quaint. Actually, it's like you will never believe what will happen in British Parliament. Well, actually, I will. At this point, I will.
Yeah,
I will believe
it.
I
get it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Last review to talk about is your friend Ken Burns has a new documentary.
Mm-hmm. Kenny Baseball is back with one of him. Yes. He's back with Country Music. 8 parts, 16 hours. So if country music's not your thing, that's probably not going to work for you. I have the love, not like a love hate with it. I just have I like certain players in the country field, Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard, that kind of thing.
Because it's a Ken Burns music documentary, Tim. You should be all over it.
It's got two of my favorites mixed together, music and Ken Burns. I think that, I'm not struggling with it. I like lots of parts of it, but I'm not going to lie. There are parts where I just totally want to fast forward through it, because it's like you've hit the part where I don't have any interest in this part. And I think that I wish they would have said in advance, at some point in Ken's life, he will do the part two. because it, you know, only goes up through 19, starts in 33 and goes to 96. And that's really not enough. And they miss so, they leave out so many things. And it, in the last hour of the documentary, they're just racing through kind of like newer, younger artists, kind of how it'd be Wilco, alt country scene kind of mixed in there with things I would have been more interested in seeing expanded. And you, it's easy at that point to look back and say, oh, did we have to spend so much time on like Kathy Mattea or Dwight Yoakam, or I don't, you know, there's all kinds of things. Or I think another criticism, even though I love Johnny Cash, is Johnny Cash's story is familiar, and there's I don't think there's a whole lot of new ground here, if any. So he's sticking with the icons definitely, but maybe a little bit too long. And then you start to feel it at the end when you're like, oh, I would have liked to have seen something about alt country or, you know, some of these other newer artists that would have been interesting, but he didn't have time for it.
All right. Well,
so I would just say, if you like country music, you will watch it. If you don't, you will skip it. And I would say wait until they drop him. Because if you're like me and you're like, I'm just going to make this up, I'm a 50% kind of country fan, you can just skip through all the parts that you have no interest in.
All right.
And stick to the ones you do.
So basically, yeah, you've got to be interested in the people or it's not going to do it for you.
I'm not going to suffer a lot of Vince Gill and stuff. So, yeah.
Right.
Sorry.
Well, Faith Hill. Faith Hill.
Yeah.
All right. Let's, you know, a friend of mine's brother was Faith Hill's first husband.
Really?
It's a true story.
Connected.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a reason they called her Faithless Hill. Anyway. It's a true story. Anyway, sorry to all the Tim McGraw fans out there. Yeah. Okay. Right. We have letters to do, but we also have a sponsor. So I'm going to tell you about a sponsor. This is a product I actually use. This episode of TV Talk Machine is brought to you by Backblaze. What is Backblaze? It is unlimited cloud backup for Macs and PCs. It starts at just $6 a month. No gimmicks, no add-ons. Here's the idea. Okay. If you should back up your computer because mm-hmm. your data on it, like hard drives die, and your data will be gone. If you have valuable data, like your stories or your business records or whatever on your computer, you want to back it up. So like if you got a Mac, you can get like Time Machine, you can plug in a hard drive and run Time Machine. Well, that's fine, but what if there's a natural disaster and you know your hard drive is there next to your computer? If there's a fire or a flood, they're both destroyed and you have no backup. So the best thing to do is to have an offsite backup. And I know people who back up to a hard drive and then they walk it away and they put it at work or they put it in a bank vault or whatever. But we have the internet now. So here's the thing about Backblaze. Backblaze is an offsite backup. It will back up your computer through the internet to the cloud, and it's all encrypted and only you have access to it, but you can back it up. So all my data is backed up to Backblaze. If anything happens to me at my house, all my data is in the cloud. It also means when I travel, if I forgot a file back home and the computer shut down, guess what? I can get it off of my backup on my phone or my iPad or a laptop or whatever. I can actually retrieve all of my files remotely. And they will, even if you think, well, I'm not going to download all of this data, it'll work in the background to upload it. You can actually ask them to ship you a hard drive with all your data on it if the worst thing happens. And then you just send the hard drive back for a full refund after you've restored. So you can get that data back out of the cloud. Because sometimes the fastest internet connection is FedEx using a hard drive. True story. Sometimes the highest bandwidth connection is you mail somebody a hard drive because the internet it's not that fast. Anyway, you got to back up your stuff. And you should do it in the cloud. You should probably do it at home too because it will be faster, but you should do cloud backup because you don't want to be left without your key stuff that you have in the case of a failure, a hardware failure, and they're going to happen. So go to backblaze.com/TV Talk Machine. That's a nice URL on the internet for your fully featured 15-day free trial. So you can get up and running, see how it works, see how you feel about it, and you'll let them know that you heard about it here. That's backblaze.com/TV Talk Machine. Check it out. Do it today. Thank you to Backblaze for saving me from data disaster and for supporting the TV Talk Machine.
Yay!
Yeah. So I use that product. You know, the last time I read a Backblaze ad, I used one of their competitors instead, but I use them now.
Nice.
That's good. They do a good job. I'm very impressed. All right. We have some letters. We're going to start with listener Chris wrote
Hi,
in
Chris.
On Twitter. And okay. I thought this was very helpful. Pertaining to your cord cutting stories, he suggested a website that is suppose.tv. He said, have you seen it? It lets you select your location and the channels you want and shows you which TV services have what you want and their cost. It's really simple and comprehensive. I tried this out. I was really impressed. Like if you're weighing like cord cutting and saying, well, I need to have this channel and I'd like to have this channel, you can feed all that in there and it will actually pop out like here are the services. So like if DirecTV Now has a channel that you want, but PlayStation View doesn't, it'll show you that. And then you can make your decisions accordingly. So it could be a very helpful tool, suppose.tv, if you're thinking about cutting the cord.
Yes, they were in touch with me through Twitter, talking to me. Like they're like, oh, you should have let us do it. And then I was like, I didn't really reply. And they also emailed me. But my question was like, I didn't know you existed prior to this. And B, if I let you do it, it wouldn't have been a story.
Yeah, you would have nothing to write about. But
I would have said, hey, I hired a company to pick my streaming service.
But if you're thinking about putting your toe in the water of cutting the cord, check it out.
Yeah,
thank
why
you,
not?
Listener
Save
Chris.
Yourself some time. Yeah.
Okay, listener Kevin on Twitter also wrote in, and he sent a link to, in fact, THR did a story about this. Apple apparently offered $500 million to J.J. Abrams,
yes.
A lot more than Warner Media, and he said no. And Kevin says, what does it mean if Apple can't buy superfan J.J. with $500 million?
Well, I think what it really means is that J.J. and his company want to be able to sell content wherever they want.
Yeah, the Apple deal was an exclusive, and it sounds like the Warner deal, Warner Media has a lot of channels, and then if they pass, I get the impression that they can take it elsewhere.
Yeah. So it's just like,
and they have a movie studio. Like, what's Apple going to do with feature films? Is Apple going to release feature films in theaters for J.J. Abrams? I don't know. It seems so risky right now to me that he would, go in on a company that hasn't even launched their service yet.
Exclusive. I get the joke that he put in there, and I think there's certainly an element of truth to it, to the humor too. It's like,
he is an Apple super fan. I suspect that's why he listened to Apple for as long as he did, is because he loves Apple. And I'm sure he loved hanging out with the execs and going up to Apple Park and all of that. But it's hard to see that would be a good deal for him.
I think he also just needed to see what Apple can do. Like, you're new to it. Let's see how you do your TV people. Because they're not immune to like rumors and things that are happening. Buzzing around in the industry that says, Apple, they have a learning curve on how to treat talent and executives and creators, and they're figuring it out. So I think he's going to say maybe next deal.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. This one is a letter from Sam from the 707. He says, hello, great ones. I was interested in your chat about D23, but I wanted to go a little deeper with the successive graphic novel TV adaptations like The Boys, Legion, The Umbrella Academy, and the huge slate of announcements from Disney regarding Marvel properties. Is the future of comic books on TV? In the past, it was always because TV did not have the budget for such spectacles, so it had to be on the big screen. But the fact that Marvel is pivoting away from doing 3 or 4 movies a year, and putting so many resources behind these shows, is this the future for us superhero nerds? Everyone keeps asking, what's the next Game of Thrones? What if it was the X-Men? A sprawling world with years of stories to tell. They got 3 amazing series out of 1 character on FX that literally no X-Men fan would name as their favorite character. That's Legion. It almost just feels like Disney is saying $6.99 a month is worth more than $13 3 times a year for a movie. Also, I think Disney's completely right to release these shows weekly rather than all at once. Don't get me wrong. When a show hits me, I love the binge. I watch The Boys in 4 days. But the thing I love about shows is the water cooler chat about episodes, what's going to happen next. And I don't think binge shows get that sort of conversation. Imagine how many Game of Thrones YouTube channels would never have existed if we didn't have time in between shows to speculate. Word to your mother, Sam in the 707. What do you think about this idea that maybe there's a reprioritization for stuff like the superhero stuff and like back off a little on feature film, put a little more gas into the engine for TV streaming?
Yeah, I think that's why not. I mean, I think Yeah, it's, I don't know about absolutes, because I think the game now is to play all outlets, because there's still going to be comic books as well, so they'll play all outlets. But yeah, TV is, you can just do different stories there, although they actually fit in the one genre that opens well for movies,
yeah.
Unlike, say, like a marriage drama, which would be DOA. So it could do both, but maybe it makes more fiscal sense for them to do TV. I think that might be it.
I gotta say, the idea that Disney's answer to the X-Men might be more Disney Plus oriented, I'm fascinated by that. I hadn't really considered that with the X-Men and the Fantastic Four, for that matter, coming back to Marvel Studios, that they have the opportunity. Everybody's like, well, how are they going to put those in features? They've got so many other characters. You know, I think this is the answer, is that some of the stuff, like we've seen with some of their announcements, they're just going to do on TV. And I think Sam makes a great point that X-Men is a rich universe that could be mined in a different way, maybe, after everybody's kind of exhausted from the last 8 X-Men movies. Maybe give it a rest in the movie theater and try to tell those stories in a different way on TV. I don't know. That's kind of a fun idea, because you're right, you know. Movies are short stories. Movies are mm-hmm. 2 hours, or if it's Avengers Endgame, 3 hours, and you're out. Whereas TV, you can tell the long, sprawling, lots of characters kind of stuff, which honestly is what the comic book source material is much more like than a feature film. Comic books are much more like TV shows, or soap operas, really, which are TV shows, but yeah. Okay. This is Len from the area code of record, the 415.
Yes.
Longtime listener. True. Mm-hmm. First time emailer. Welcome, Len.
Welcome, Len. Breaking the threshold.
Yep.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, it's been 10 years. Where were you?
Where were you? Man, press send.
I had a different take on the ending of Catastrophe. As I saw it, Sharon swims out into the water. Rob takes a look at the sign and decides to join her out into the water. To me, the water represents life with all its dangers and risks and challenges. Rob decides he's not going to let Sharon swim through all those by herself. Instead, he swims out to be with her as they move forward and deal with all of life's dangers together. End of show. It may be a little Pollyanna-ish, but that's how I saw it. I look forward to your show every week whenever it comes out. Love to your mothers and all the other listeners' mothers, too. Thanks, Len in the 415.
Oh, Len, that's cute. That's cute. Now they're dead, Len. Sorry. No.
I think artistically, right? I think Len's absolutely right, regardless of what we want to imagine their final outcome is. Like, metaphorically, I think he's exactly right. That is what is happening there, mm-hmm. is that just as everything else, Sharon's out there and Rob is not going to let her kind of go off on her own. He's going to be with her, whatever
happens.
Well,
he does say something to her along those lines as well.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to let you do this, you know, alone.
Yeah. No, that's why that scene has so much resonance, is that it's more meaningful than just happening in the moment. And then Tim says they're dead. So.
No, it's clearly meant to draw your own conclusion, which is great.
They're fine. They just washed up down shore and had their kids taken away by Child Protective Services. And anyway, we'll find out more about that when Catastrophe returns in 2027.
The movie.
Yeah. Mm. It'll be on streaming, though. It's strange. Clive, our friend Clive from the +44, Clive and Blighty. Mm-hmm. This is a very short one, but it made me laugh so much that I'm going to read it. And I have really tried not to read these kinds of letters, but I'm going to do this one.
Okay.
Sorry, guys. I had to send you this link. And the link is to a story on Gizmodo, and the headline is Rooster Kills Australian Woman. And I know it's really sad because a 76-year-old woman died after being pecked by a rooster in South Australia. But
I just burst out laughing. What a terrible person I am.
But I clicked the link and I thought, oh no, it's going to be another one of these dumb Australian wildlife stories. And it was Rooster Kills Australian Woman. And I was like, okay, you got me. You got me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even the chickens kill in Australia is what I'm saying.
Yeah, even the chickens are deadly. I'm never going to us. I already told the kids, never going. Don't you have, you've got to go on your own. I'm never going to go with me.
Wow.
Nope.
All right. This one's from Zach in the 703. Zach says, Jason and Tim, I want to write in my support for Jason's preferred slow binge approach. I don't understand how anyone could possibly watch 10 hours straight of the same television series in a single day, but one or two a day, that sounds my speed. I personally enjoy the long, slow binge of an entire 6-plus season series start to finish, which ends up taking me 2-plus months, but is totally worth it to get something I totally missed out of my backlog. This does, however, have the effect of me almost getting overly invested in some series and wanting to discuss and overanalyze every detail about it with anyone I know, as if it's the only television show that exists, since it has been the one show in my life for the past few weeks. So I guess sorry to my friends. Anyway, a great show. I'm looking forward to those streaming wars to truly begin this fall, Zach, in the 703.
Mm.
All right. Welcome to the Church of the Slow Binge, Zach.
I'm also up in the church.
I like this. Having done that, I've done that with a couple of shows where I watched like, what was it? Arrow. I watched like four seasons of it back to back. When it was about four seasons in, and there was that period where I felt like I was in a parallel universe where the only TV show on was Arrow, but it was on every night. And I felt, yes, again, sorry to my friends. It was like, oh, but Oliver Queen did this thing. And they're like, did that happen like 3 years ago? I'm like, no, it was last night.
It was last night in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny.
All right, this is a good one. We mentioned this before, but I think it's worth mentioning again for anybody who uses Prime Video. This is from Catherine in the 203. She says, I was listening to Eric's message about the lack of 4K content on Amazon, and there is a thing that it actually took me an entire season of Sad Spies to figure out. I don't know if it's just in the Roku app. It's not. The UHD version, the 4K version of shows and films often show up in the Amazon app as a separate entry. It's annoying and easily overlooked. So you may find Sad Spies Season 1, but there's also a Sad Spies Season 1 4K UHD, and that's the one you want to watch if you've got a 4K TV.
Oh.
Because Amazon, not a very technically oriented company, I guess. Thank you, Catherine.
Nice.
A little burn there. Take that, rich guy. Take that, billionaire. Okay, David in the 503 writes in. He says, Jason and Tim, regarding cord-cutting adventures. I've been a cord cutter for years, and while possibly saving money is a mighty fine reason to cut the ties to the cord overlords, my main reason is to avoid watching ads. I'd rather go back to watching TV shows from those little red Netflix envelopes via snail mail than waste my time and ruin the flow of shows with those annoying little shouty plays that keep interrupting cable TV. The only time I see ads is when I'm visiting my mother-in-law for Christmas, and I don't know how people can stand them. Yay for the digital revolution to stream ad-free content. Love to your motherboard. Words, David in the 503.
David, I'm there with you, man. Mm. Soul brother. Cannot do it. I can't like even
sports, it's hard, right? Even in sports, it's hard.
Yeah. You gotta start. I start 20 minutes and then I have to like go through and fast forward it because I can't do it. I actually will tell this really quick story. Many, many years ago, I was in Michigan for Christmas and enduring these commercials and like losing my mind. As we were stuck in this house, and I was like, you guys got to get like a TiVo or something. And I'm like, oh, we have it. And I was like, wait, what? Yeah, we're TiVoing this now. But I was like, lost my mind. I'm like, then why are we watching ads? Like, what? This is why you have it, to record it and fast forward through it. So yeah, it was a little bit of Christmas meltdown.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. One of many.
Wow. Give me the remote now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is a good one. This is a Karen in the 530 at the foot of Mount Shasta.
Nice.
And since my daughter is going to the University of Oregon, I will be going past Karen's house a lot.
A lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Greetings, gentlemen. I've been following the cord cutting discussion closely. It's not an option for me because high speed internet that could support a fully streaming lifestyle is a challenge for those of us in rural areas. We are the land where ISP executives vacation but do not service. But I do have some family members that are very interested in cutting the cord, and they live in civilization, so it is a viable option for them. They had one question for you. How do you deal with a multi-TV, multi-viewer household? Does every TV have to have their own Apple TV or Roku or Fire Stick hooked up and logged into the mothership? Do the various services offer simultaneous logins, or will each need their own account? Is there an easy workaround for this? I did a bit of research here and there, but I'm still interested in how you would be approaching the issue.
Hmm. Well, if you were streaming to my understanding is, if you're streaming it to a device other than a television set, if it doesn't have a smart thing in it, then it just goes right into your, it streams onto your iOS device. So that's counts as a stream. So you could have someone on their laptop, you could have someone on their iPad, and then you could be watching TV, and that's three. for my thing, I have get five in the middle package.
They all have like a simultaneous stream count, but it's generally more than one. So you've got three or five or whatever, and you can choose at different levels. Like Netflix has a simultaneous stream kind of cap. So you'd put, and yeah, you would either need a TV with apps on it that support mm-hmm. this, or you need, this is, read part two of Tim's article, because I think you cover it pretty well. But yeah, you'd either need that or you need to buy a box. But yeah, you can get a Roku box for like $30, and Fire TV is similar. And
yeah, I think her question is, if you have like three televisions in three different bedrooms, yes, you would need a little streamer. Yeah.
But you can do that and log into the mothership. And if there was three simultaneous streams, then you're fine, because
yeah,
that's, they allow that depending on what package you're on. And I will also say, as somebody who's rural. My sister-in-law lives up in the foothills, and they have DirecTV, and because they do not have any speedy internet, they are using satellite internet. And while satellite internet is very slow, it's really more that it has latency issues, where it's bad for gaming and things like that, because there's a delay. But they can stream Netflix on their satellite internet, because once it kind of builds up the buffer, then it's okay. So, you know, there are some options, but okay. Then you're using DirecTV satellite internet. You might as well use their TV as well, probably.
Yeah, you haven't cut the cord then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move back.
No, kidding.
Let's see what else we've got here. So many letters. I don't think I'm going to...
There's a lot of letters.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be able to get them all, but we'll kick some into next week. Here's one that starts out a little snarky. It's Matt from the 330.
Okay, Matt.
I'm getting concerned with the tightness and brightness of these podcast episodes lately. At a certain point, I'm going to have to come up with a formula to tell us the number of minutes of TVTM content that make it worth listening to those ExpressVPN ads. Well, we're in minute 46, so I think we're doing pretty good with the ratio this time, Matt.
Yeah, we're long today.
Yeah, yeah, not tight and bright at all. And he says, with the release of a couple of fairly anticipated streaming shows this week, I thought I'd pay special attention to see if maybe the robots are listening to your podcast. Alas, Amazon's Undone was available by at least 8:15 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, while Netflix's own Unshow, Unbelievable, is still not available Friday as of 1:17 a.m. Eastern. Maybe if we all pick a few series to watch, only a few random episodes in the middle of a season, the Netflix robot will go beep boop, does not compute, and shut down once and for all. It's like a Captain Kirk situation. It's like, can we make it so illogical that the Netflix robots just turn themselves off? Incidentally, I'm really enjoying Undone after a couple of episodes. As for Unbelievable, well, I don't know, do I? Matt from the 330.
I do like that. I like the ending.
Yeah.
Strong.
That's very good. Very good. And I appreciate that. We should
say that even if we don't read your letter or have it read, we still love you, and we'll read it next week.
All right, this is Patrick in the 802, and it's a long one, so I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but this is pretty good. He says, let me tell the two of you and your mothers that my wife is more intelligent than I am, and I love her very much. We have been together over 25 years. We've been TiVo people since the Series 2 in the early aughts, so we're not exactly the CBS demographic. That said, after experimenting with cord cutting based on Tim's advice, it is obvious that no one loves Tim enough to live with him. I say this with no malice or character judgment, just the reality that non-gadget-loving, living on the bleeding edge domestic partners will not be enthusiastic customers. Like Tim, I previously looked at some of the basic services and found them lacking. It never occurred to me that PS View was a service I could use without a PlayStation. With a 5-day free trial, we're off to the brave new world of TV or not. I did not realize how deeply the TiVo remote guide and commercial skip features had ingrained themselves into our TV watching. So thanks for the effort. For us, at least, paying $150 a month to the evil cable company is still worth it for the domestic tranquility provided. I may look at cord cutting again if TiVo goes out of business, but I'm no longer in a hurry to cut any cords. Thanks for the podcast, and I hope Tim can find love someday. Patrick in the 802.
Patrick, it's not that hard to do this. I just wish that Patrick had not given up. It seems like he just said, I don't want to relearn how to do this.
I skipped a part that I'm going to mention now, which is he says... Yeah. The PlayStation View guide requires much more precise swipes on the Apple remote than other services like Netflix. I find it annoying. When my wife watches TV, her facial expression seems to say she is reconsidering her decision to marry me.
Okay. Yeah, you might have kept that in there. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep. Anyway, he's rooting for you, though.
He is. I need to find love. I'm well-loved. Trust me. I'm well-loved.
It's fine. And you have no... you cut the cord.
I did.
It's good.
I'm feeling free. All right. I'm loving it.
One last letter. This is from Matt in the 301.
Okay, Matt.
Last week, I noticed that
another
Amazon
mm-hmm.
was suggesting a series. There's two Matts. We have two Matts in this episode. It's amazing. There's a run on Matts. Not as many plus 44s, but a lot of Matts. Last week, I noticed Amazon was suggesting a series named Travels by Narrowboat. Intrigued, I began watching. This show, in a nutshell, is about an Englishman, Kevin Shelley, who, in the throes of a midlife crisis, takes to the British canal system in a narrowboat. Kevin single-handedly shoots the entire show on a handheld camcorder, supplemented with video from his mobile phone. Needless to say, production values are not high, but he enables the viewer to achieve a relaxing zen state as he putters down canals at 3 miles per hour and through various types of locks and swing bridges. In season three, Kevin starts inserting long stretches of meal preparation in his tiny galley, which I usually fast forward over, but there is something addictive about the show. I've discovered the gongoozler lurking in my soul. Gongoozler, for those who don't know, is a real word. It means someone who enjoys watching canals. It's a real word.
Wow. Gongoozler.
Matt in the 301 is gongoozling even now. So if that sounds good
wow.
to you, Tim, this sounds like it might be in the Maisie category of visual Xanax. Some
yeah,
travels by narrowboat. So mm-hmm. check that out.
Yeah, that's not too bad. I think I do follow on Instagram an account that does often put up videos of gondolas going through the water. And then, you know, I've seen so much of them actually when you're actually out in the greater water. But it's so fascinating when they're doing like into the little intricate canals between. I could watch that all night.
There was a Twitter thread that I'm never going to be able to find, but it was amazing about a guy who bought a boat. And I don't think it's the same guy, but he bought a boat and he needed to take it to another part of England. And so he had to spend like several days going through all these canals. And the Twitter thread is amazing because he didn't know what to do. And he's like, I can't get through. They're not going to open the gate. So where do I tie up? And a guy is like, oh, you can just tie up right here and come next to my boat and then come over to my boat and then go up to the pub and we'll have a beer. And like it was like incredibly charming. But also I get what he's saying here, kind of soothing of like, you just got to wait around until the lock is open again, and then you go through and then you go down the canal a little bit more. And I have a friend who lives on a boat in England too. So this is a real thing. It's actually, it's a real thing. It's fun. So I'm going to check out the Travels by Narrowboat if I need to relax with a glass of wine at the end of the day.
A lot of shows on TV, basically.
Basically anything you want, there's a show for it. That's it. Now, lots of letters, but we're out now. I read them all. It turns out I read them all. I didn't skip any. So that means we need more letters for the next episode. You can get those to us. You can tweet at us at TVTM. That's super easy. No hashtags required, just at TVTM. We see that. We're not watching. We're not monitoring any hashtags, people. Just at TVTM. That's all you need. Save your characters for your questions. And you can also email us podcast@tvtalkmachine.com. And you could also send us an audio file if you really wanted to. That would be nice,
too. Do it
too.
While you're on a boat in a canal.
Oh, man. Can you imagine?
I would love that.
I wonder if I could get my friend Jeremy to do that just to give us a report, boat report, canal report.
I think we need somebody in Britain to do that.
Yeah.
And then,
Yeah, Jeremy could do it. He's yeah. on his boat. Maybe.
Uh-huh.
Maybe. Anyway, if you are listening to this in a canal, on a boat of some sort, let us know by any means.
Somewhere Hobo Eric's like, I did that like 5 years ago.
Yeah, Hobo Eric's like, yeah, I'm over it. I'm walking past the Barbican. I don't do these. I'm in central London now. I don't do the whole canal boat thing anymore.
I did the canal. It's over.
He did it. anyway, but that's it until next week, unless you've got anything to Columbo me with. I feel
I
like
not.
we this was a full non-Titan Bright episode, and so I hope that the ratio of ad to time was acceptable to... to our letter writer who complained.
Because it's probably a Matt. Somebody named Matt.
It was probably a Matt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. It was Matt from the 330, not to be confused with Matt from the 301, who is we
such
like.
Such a Matt.
Yeah, typical Matt.
Don't be a Matt.
All right, but that's it for now. So except for Matt, what do we say, Tim?
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody, except for Matt.